always good to worship together. And it is, as I mentioned before, it is really, it's good to be back with you guys. I missed you guys last week. It was a wonderful time away, having a little bit of a retreat, which is so important. It's just absolutely necessary sometimes as a Christian to get away and have a bit of a spiritual retreat where we take stock of how things are going, and especially as a married couple, to take some time away and just say, okay, how are you? How are we doing together in honoring our vows, our commitment to one another, to living our lives together? Are there things we need to stop doing? Are there things we need to do more of? Maybe some new things that we should put into practice in our marriage and our relationship. And it was a great time of godly preaching and a great time to just have fun together. And it was, but as I said, it's good to be back with you guys. I love doing this. It's good. And it's hard to believe it's been 6 months already since I started. So thank you guys for being my people, letting me be your pastor for these past 6 months. They've been some of the absolute best months of my life. And kind of on the vein of our vows, our commitments, honoring our word, we're going to talk today a bit about integrity. We've been walking through true faith, what it is to have true faith or true religion, as we've been walking through the book of James together. It's our second to last sermon in the book of James. And we're going to be focusing in on one verse today. James chapter 5, verse 12. If you'd like to go ahead and get your Bibles out and turn to it, this would be a great time. If you don't have a Bible or you don't feel like pulling it out, the text will be on the screen. But as always, I like to encourage people to be in the habit of opening up a Bible, because if you can do it here, that shows you proof you can do it at home. James is writing here on this idea of confident integrity. We're going to talk about what that means, and I know I usually focus on a little bit larger pieces of scripture, but today I just want to focus in on one verse and take a look at it in the context of the rest of this letter he's written and in the rest of scripture, and really how it affects our lives. It says this: above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you'll be condemned. Now, at first glance at reading this, you may notice this is just a shortened version of what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount on swearing an oath, making oaths, swearing. I think it's a phrase we're all familiar with: I swear to God. And James is saying we should not be saying that. We should not be making an oath. Not to God, not to heaven, not on earth. And the first time I read this, I thought, oh man, what if I get called into court? I'm going to have to put my hand on the Bible and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Which means, may God strike me dead if I'm a liar. And you're putting your hand on the Bible at the same time. Oh man, God's going to be so mad at me. And then I watched an inauguration. I was at George W. Bush's inauguration while I was in high school. And I saw him swear to faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States. And I thought, whoa, he just swore an oath. Jesus isn't going to be happy. And then on reading this a little further and getting a better understanding, I recognize that's not really what James is talking about here. To a point, yes, but those kinds of oaths and vows, I mean, first of all, I personally believe that if you're ever called into court, go ahead, don't struggle with it, it's okay. Christ will cover you. God will be pleased with you if you are honest and straightforward in all of your dealings. But then I really got to thinking about it. What does this really mean? And to really get this, you have to look at the larger text. So what have we been talking about here? Who has James been writing this letter to? The dispersed Christians, the dispersed, oppressed, pressured Jewish Christians. They've been scattered from their homes, they're in different lands, they're in pain, they're in frustration, they are pressed and pressured on all sides. And in times of opposition, sometimes you just need to feel a little confidence, right? Sometimes you're going through something and you're thinking, man, I just really want to bolster my confidence right now. And what better way to do that than using strong language to help set your mind on what you know you want to see happen? To bolster your confidence through saying, I swear to God I'm going to make it through this trial. I swear I'm going to change this person's mind and how they're treating me. It's tempting, right? And that's what these people were going through. That's what James's audience was going through. And James is warning them, guys, listen. Gals, listen. You don't need to be doing that. First off, you should definitely not swear by heaven or by earth. Because, you know, first, if you swear to God, may God be stricken down. Do you really have that kind of power? I swear by heaven or I swear by earth, which was a common thing to do. They belong to God. Heaven is his throne room. Earth is his footstool. We don't have, well, what about ourselves? For the Christian, it's especially important that we recognize we don't even have ownership over our bodies. Which is why we're told, don't even swear on your own head. Because for us, for the Christian, for the true disciple, your body was bought and paid for at a price. The death of Christ. So when we're tempted to swear, remember, we don't have anything really that we can swear on. What about our money? God gives us the means that we can earn money. All provision comes from him. What about our homes? Ultimately, God provided them to us. And for the Christian, if everything we are belongs to God, everything we have belongs to God, we have no rights to any of it. But more than that, James is saying, listen, why do you even need to swear? Why do you even need to make an oath? Why are you trying to bolster your own confidence? And this is where it ties back into and why some Bibles have this as its own subsection and some Bibles have this verse included with the section before. Because what did we talk about last week? We talked about patience in the face of suffering. Patience in the middle of trials. James writes about these themes a lot. Perseverance. Follow through. Obedience. Looking at trials as being a good thing for us so that we can persevere through them by God's help. So that's what he's saying here. His brothers and sisters, listen, in light of the fact that there are sufferings and we know that there is a coming glory, why do you need to bolster your own confidence? Don't you trust in God to save you? Because if we're having to look at ourselves and bolster our own confidence in faith by saying we're going to do something, what we're effectively saying is, God, I don't actually believe that you have saved me, that you are saving me, and that you will save me into eternity. Because I feel like you're not really going to do it, so I'm saying I'm going to do it myself. And that sounds a little harsh, but if you really think about that process, it's kind of the truth there, isn't it? But as Christians, as children dearly loved by God, our confidence has to come from him. Our confidence has to be in him. And in his life, his death, the resurrection, that is the promise for us that one day we will have no need to swear an oath. We won't be facing trials and we won't be facing temptation that we have to swear we're going to get through. Another common thing is with this idea of saying yes or no, is people swearing oaths that, oh yes, I swear to you, I will get this done. May God strike me down if I don't follow through on this for you. It's pretty powerful language. What about the times when you don't swear an oath that you're going to follow through for somebody? What does that mean for the rest of the times that you say yes to somebody, that you're just going to flake out? And that's what James is saying here. And it reminded me of a conversation I had with my dear friend Dusty, who's a pastor on the district here as well, about his most hated phrase, which is, oh yeah, I'll try. You ever hear that phrase from somebody? Hey, can you help me out with this next Saturday? I need to move something. Oh yeah, okay, sure, I'll try. Yeah, maybe I can do that. What is maybe? I have a chest freezer to move. I need to know yes or no on this. Are you going to be there or not? Or you invite, like, I had a birthday party, and I invited a friend. Oh, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, maybe I'll come to that. What is maybe? I'm offering to buy you food and cake. You're going to say maybe to food and cake? What are you going to do, find something better than food and cake? Free food and cake? Doubt it. You don't even need to bring me a present. I'm 30. But we do. Sometimes I catch myself saying it, and you might too. Like just this weekend, Alyssa went out of town, and she asked me, David, can you please take care of some of this cleaning while I'm gone? I said, I will try. Mind you, the baby had just gotten some vaccinations. I also had a 6-year-old in the house. And when you get 3 Bolton men in a house, especially when one of them's not feeling good, and the other is me, you're going to get some crankiness going on. And then you've got the babies. And I did. I said, I will try. And I got off the phone, and I realized, 1, what I was preaching on, and 2, what I just said. And went, great. Lesson learned. And it's frustrating, isn't it? Because what I'll try in our cultural context means is, that sounds great unless I find something better to do. Or, I just don't feel like it anymore. Because we've all had those times, those people, when we're like, hey, do you want to get together later? Yeah, that sounds great. All right, we'll meet at 6. Sounds good. And they never show, and you don't get a phone call or a text, and you call them up. Yeah, I got busy watching this movie on Netflix. I just don't feel like coming right now. Or, you know, any other excuse that may or may not be real. And my friend Dusty just absolutely hates this phrase. He just looks at it like, listen, just make a commitment. Just tell me if you're coming. If you're coming and you say yes, then show up. Follow through. Because can you imagine if you were getting up there, if you were marrying your spouse, and you got up there, and you're standing, the preacher's officiating, we're all here gathered today because of love and honor. Do you take this person to be your lawfully wedded spouse? And they look you in the face and they go, I do. Will you, forsaking all others, love and cherish this person in sickness, in health, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, will you honor and love and care for this person for the rest of your life? Yeah, I guess I could try that. I don't know about you guys, I would straight up walk out. We're still having a party because I dodged a bullet on that one. But imagine how that would feel in that context. Yeah, I'll try, you know, unless it gets too hard and I just don't really feel like it. Or, I'll go along with it till the next model comes out. No pun intended. We need to be honest with our intents If we're going to say yes, we need to follow through and we need to execute faithfully on what we said we're going to do. Yeah, sometimes things happen. Sometimes emergencies come up. That's okay. This is just saying, don't flake out. Be people of integrity. What about the times when you're not going to do something and you know you're not going to do it and you're tempted to say yes because you don't want to deal with the disappointment on the other person's face? I'm going to give you a tool to help you out right now. This is a powerful tool. It is one of my absolute favorite tools in my arsenal that I use on a regular basis, and I encourage you to do it as well. And I'm letting you know you can use this with me, and you can use it with each other. You can use it with the other people in your life. It's powerful. I think some of you know where I'm going. It's one word. It's two letters. No. It's okay to say no. If you know you're not going to do something or you shouldn't be doing it, just say no. It's like that old DARE campaign from when I was growing up. Just say no to drugs. Just say no to the stuff you shouldn't be doing. Just say no to the things that you know you're not going to do, either because you have too many other good things going on, and this would interfere with them, and you wouldn't be able to give it the quality and care that it needs. It's okay to say no to those things. Or because you know you have no interest in doing it, and so it won't get done. Just say no. Like when my wife called me up and said, "Can you do this cleaning?" And I knew I really didn't have any intent to get it done. I should have just said, "No, I'm not going to." She might be disappointed, but she'll at least respect my honesty. Now, I will let you know, I did clean. Okay, just to put it out there. But it's like that, to bring it back to my friend Dusty. He was putting together a group to go and sing at a nursing home. He had about 7 people. And he approached me and said, "David, would you like to come and play and sing with us?" And I looked at him and said, "I'm interested. What are the dates?" And we talked a little bit. And I just, finally, I had to email him back and go, "No. I'm not gonna be able to. I can't really commit to the dates right now. So I'd rather just say no, count me out, because I'd hate to say yes and have you count on me and then not show up." And you know what? Dusty was a little disappointed. He said, "Sure, I'll consider you for the future, but okay." But man, did he respect that I told him no. He respected the honesty. And I guarantee that will happen to the other people in your life. And let me tell you, if you are honest and sincere about it, God will be pleased as well, which is much more important, because you will be a person of integrity. Just as he is a God of integrity, what he says he will or won't do is what happens with our God. And because, listen, sometimes, like I said, it can be, you can feel pressured into say it. Maybe it's because it's in the church, and you think, if I don't do this thing, if I don't say yes to running this ministry, no one else is going to do it, and it's not going to happen. Anybody, you can do like a half raise. You can do like the one finger, like, "Yeah, that's me. I don't want anyone else to know." Anybody ever dealt with that in the church? I got a few people. Yeah. It's okay. You can say no to things, even in the church, and it's important that we do sometimes. To maintain that integrity and be honest about what we're capable of and what we're wanting to do, and just to remind you, listen, if you're looking at life and you're saying, "I have to do this because God can't raise up someone else to do it," what? God can't? Am I that important? Like, I'll be honest with you guys. What if I had said, after being called to be your pastor, had not wanted to do it, and said, "Well, I better do it because there's nobody else who can if I don't do it." One, that's not true. You're wonderful people. Anybody would be lucky and blessed to be your pastor. And two, God did call me to this, and I am so thrilled to be here. But imagine the gall of me saying, "I'm the only one who can shepherd these people. There's no one else that God could possibly raise up to do it." No, that's not right. That's not confidence in our God. That's not belief. That's not true faith. That God is all powerful, all capable of sustaining no matter what. That if I'm following his leading, things are going to go at least okay. That's why it's so important for us to be able to be in a culture where we do say yes and support one another, support new ideas, try new things, but we also have to be a culture of honesty and integrity where no is an acceptable answer and where we are okay with saying and hearing no and trusting that God will work it out. Because if we don't do it, if we start saying yes and taking on too many things, or saying yes when we know deep down we're going to flake out, we are double-minded, unstable, and untrustworthy. And things will start to suffer because of that, because of a split focus, because of hidden agendas. I don't know about you guys, but I don't have time for that. I don't think God has time for that. He needs us to be honest with ourselves and one another and to live lives of integrity. And so I know that's kind of a lot, and it can seem kind of intense. I used some harsh language today. I said things like not right, not good, wrong, bad. But I also want you to hear, just to kind of recap what I'm really saying here. Because James puts this in the negative, don't swear an oath. Just use yes or no, or you'll stand condemned. Which is true. But let me rephrase this in the positive for you. Know that where God is leading you in your life, you can be confident in. If you're spending time with God, reading, listening, praying, you may not always know what you're doing, what God is, the action or ministry that God is calling you to, because sometimes it's just not super clear. And if you're feeling that today, you're not alone. I've felt it. My wife has felt it. Everyone in this room who has ever considered taking on a ministry at some point, I'm sure, has wondered, is this the right thing for me to do? Or considered going to a job, has wondered, is this the right move for me? Yeah, sometimes we can wonder that, and we don't get crystal clear answers immediately the first time, every time we ask. But we can always be confident that we know who God wants us to be, the character he has for us. We can be confident that God is going to save us through the power of his son, Jesus. We can be confident at all times that we know who God wants us to be. Honest people of integrity. Confident in him, full of integrity with one another and before him. Speaking honestly, trusting that God holds all power and all glory and can accomplish anything he wills to do so, frankly, better than any of us can. And if we do that, if we are confident and we have integrity, God is going to be pleased. If we're honest with one another, even if sometimes it's a little uncomfortable, God is pleased. And we can do that because of the power of his Holy Spirit at work in us. And if we're humble with one another, even when we receive an answer that we don't love, to choose to respect, to choose to appreciate, God will be honored. His name will be lifted high and exalted. And people who live without integrity are going to see that boldness and go, you know what? Maybe there is something there. Does that excite anybody today? Does anybody think it's better to live with integrity than without? Does anybody think it's better to live without integrity than with integrity? Good. I'm really glad nobody said yes to that. Because that is really what this entire book, this entire journey through this concept of true faith has been. Be confident in God. He is who He says. He'll do what He says He will do. Be confident that He is saving you. It is a progressive act from the past to save from the sins you've already committed, in the present to save you from the choices you could make here and now, and in the future, both in this life and in eternity, to have peace with Him, joy, and to live with integrity, obedient to Him, living like Christ, that through His power, through His Holy Spirit, our confidence in Him is our faith in Him. And that integrity is living out that Christian life, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. And I've really enjoyed walking through this book with you guys. With you all, it's just been so wonderful. And I really want you to take time to examine this week. Because as I mentioned two weeks ago, next week we're going to have a healing service. And we're going to talk about divine healing, where it comes from, as we really finish off this book, this letter together and understanding it. There's going to be some serious teachings, but a big one is you need to be right with God if you want to see His power in your life. So I want you to take some time this week and ask God, do I need to repent anything to you? Is it an action? Is it an attitude? If it's not a habitual sin, is it just a one-off that I did? Lord, show me, convict me, that you might have more room to work in my life. I'm going to talk about that more next week. And as I'm praying today, if that's you, then just respond. Respond to God by confessing to Him what it is. And if you're not sure if that's you, I hope the seed takes root. And this week, you examine your hearts and you examine your lives so that you can know confidently by the end of service, 1 week from now, that you are right with God. Hopefully before then. Hopefully you're all right now and it's just me and I'm preaching to the choir and everybody's perfect. I see some smiles. I see some head shakes there. I like it. Take some time this week and examine your heart. Lord, what do I need to give over to you? What do I need changed that you can have room to work my life? How do I have that confident integrity in you? What's in the way of me getting to that place? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you because we know that you are fully capable. We come to you because you love us. We come to you because we're yours. Help us to know more and more what that means. Lord, if there's anything in me that needs to be changed, I need you to show it to me. Holy Spirit, give me the strength to repent, to be strong in the ways you're calling me. Empower us, your people, to know your will and your way. Help us not to get hung up on what's and where's and when's and why's, but to be so focused on who you are and who we are in you, who we need to become, that the rest would be apparent and we would have peace. Lord, we thank you that when we confess our sins to you, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lead us and guide us this week. Walk with us as you love to do, and help us to walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much, brothers and sisters. You're dismissed.